Never let your feelings sit in judgment over your faith.
Dr. Tony Evans says no matter what your emotions are telling you, the Lord is still in control.
I don't care what crisis you are now going through, you're not the first one God has had to address.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. We don't have to go out looking for problems in life. They find us. But today, Dr. Evans explains the upside of downtimes as he talks about how a crisis can lead to revival. Let's join him.
Revival is when the reality of God becomes real to the experience of his people, when God, in a sense, re-enters into your situation of life. When there was the return of God, it was often in the midst of a crisis, a situation that men could not fix, such as the situation that we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat has a problem. Verse 1 says, it came about that the sons of Moab and Ammon, together with the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. They came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram and beyond." Verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Here's when you really know you're in a crisis. Verse 12, he says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do." You're in a crisis when you don't know what to do. Let me give you the good news. The crisis is the bad news. The good news is that God allows, creates, and uses crises so that he can demonstrate he alone is God. In a crisis, you need to see the living God. In a crisis, you need to know the God you've been talking about is real. And you need an experience with that God. Well, if you need an experience with that God, you need an experience that calls for that God. If you need an experience with that God, then you need an experience that calls for that God. So he sets his face to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, verse 5, and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. So he's in God's house in a crisis. He says, "O Lord, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you." He introduces his prayer with one of the great truths that you need to remember, particularly if you are in a crisis or when you get in a crisis. He says, "God, is it not true that heaven rules?" If you forget everything I say today, I want you to remember this. Heaven rules. In other words, earth never has the last word. Your crisis is not the final word. It looks like the final word because you're being overwhelmed. It feels like the final word because you're afraid. You think it may be the final word because you don't know what to do. So what he does in his prayer is retreat to what he knows to be true about God, even though it goes against how he feels right now. How does he feel right now? He's very much afraid. Never let your feelings sit in judgment over your faith. You must always let your faith sit in judgment over your feelings. Don't deny how you feel. How you feel is how you feel. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm insecure. I'm worried. The problem is not how you're feeling. The problem is allowing how you feel, as real as it is, to override your faith. So what he says is what he knows to be true about God. He says, God, is it not true that you rule from heaven? That heaven has the final say, that you have the last word, that heaven will make the closing comment and make the final decision and give the final answer. It's not over till heaven has said it's over. You must always make sure what is true about God is brought to bear in the middle of the discord that you may feel. Remember, feelings have no intellect. They're real, but they don't think. They react. That's why you must bring to bear what you know to be true about God. So Jehoshaphat says, is it not true that heaven rules earth? That's theology. He's dealing with the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty has to do with rulership. He says, heaven rules God. So he appeals to God's character. You are not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations. You rule, watch this now. God just doesn't rule circumstances. He just doesn't rule individuals. He rules kingdoms and nations. Why is he saying you rule nations? Because we're being attacked by some nations. So I don't need a God who just takes care of streets. When I'm being attacked by a nation, I need a nation kind of ruling God. I don't need just an individual ruler. I need somebody who can change the whole course of nations. He says now, and I love the fact he's praying to God, but he's praying in question form. He's praying in question form. He says, are you not the ruler? Verse 6, did you not, O God? In other words, God, let me ask you a question. In other words, God, I'm asking you a question because I need to remind myself of the answer. So he now remembers. He starts with the sovereignty of God. Heaven rules. He remembers, God, you faced this problem before with your people and you handled it. I'm not your test case. Listen, I don't care what crisis you are now going through. You're not the first one God has had to address. You're not his test case. You're not his trial. He's not scratching his head saying, I haven't faced this one before. In a financial crisis, the widow of Zarephath could testify. I was down to my last meal and he made a way out of no way. If you don't know which way to go, Moses and Israel can testify between Pharaoh and the Red Sea that he can open up a road. Nobody could predict God was going to do that. So the Bible is full of, particularly the Old Testament, testimony. But you say, wait a minute. That was in the Old Testament. Yeah, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, those things were written for our example. The Bible wrote the Old Testament so that when you and I are living in the New Testament, we can refer back to the Old Testament when our New Testament problems look like Old Testament situations. He says, as I recall, Abraham had some nation problems and you came through for him. When we built this sanctuary in your name, we stamped your name on it, it's your house, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, distress, you will hear and deliver us. Now watch this now. Now he throw God's word up in God's face. He said, wasn't this our understanding? That if all this crisis came on us, and he gives a whole list of crises. Yours is in there somewhere. He lists a whole list of crises. He says, we got pestilence, we got famine. That's financial. That's called Wall Street famine. We got judgment. We got this. We got that. But if we called on your name,
Tony will be back in a moment to talk about the special significance of calling on God's name when he continues this message from his current series, Revive Us Again. This collection will teach you how to fan the flames of faith, not just in your own life, but in your family, your church, even our country. It includes bonus material we won't have time to present on the air, and it's yours with our thanks when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Visit us today at tonyevans.org or call 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. But don't wait, this special offer won't be available much longer. I'll repeat our contact information later on after part two of today's lesson and this.
They say it takes one to know one. That's especially true for me. I'm a pastor's wife. We have opportunities, challenges, hopes, and hurts that only another pastor's wife can really understand. You can say we're in the same boat. Well, it's time to give that phrase a whole new meaning by joining Lois Evans on a fabulous 7-day cruise coming up in February. We'll stop in Jamaica, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and Cozumel, Mexico. But don't just come for the sights. Come for the sisterhood as we share an adventure with new friends who really understand who we are and what we do. We'll hear great speakers like Crystal Evans Hurst, Debbie Titus, Gloria Morrow, Meredith Shepherd, Priscilla Shire, and Rhoda Gonzalez. We'll worship with Carolyn Traylor. Then we'll come back refreshed, empowered, and inspired. Husbands are welcome too, but the sessions are just for us ladies. Don't miss it. February 22nd through 29th. Get the details and make your reservations now at tonyevans.org.
God's name is just not a word, God. It is a legal relationship. It is a trademark name, which means you only use it legitimately if you use it legally. So a lot of people use God's name, but they use it illegally. So the name doesn't register because there's no legal authority attached to it. So he goes to God's word. He goes to God's person. He goes to God's history. Then he goes to God's word. After he goes back to the history, after he goes back to God's person, his ruler, after he goes back to God's word, verse 10, now. Now, we generally start with now. Okay? God, hello, now. He doesn't get the now until he remembers who he's talking to. See, because sometimes we forget who we're talking to. See, you forget who you're talking to, and then you reduce it to something else. Now, he says. Now, let me tell you about my problem. Aren't you the ruler of the heavens? What they got to do with me? Didn't you do this before? Well, you said something in your word. Now, let me tell you about me and my messed up situation. He says, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Seir, whom you did not let invade Israel, see how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. My problem is I'm powerless. I don't know what to do. Watch this now. I'm powerless. I don't know what to do, but I'm changing where I'm looking. Did you see that last line? My eyes are on you. Now watch this. As long as the enemy can keep your eye on the enemy, you're going to be looking at the wrong thing. He shifted his look. I am no longer going to stare down my crisis. I'm not going to ignore my crisis because I'm just saying now they're coming at us. But I'm not going to stare them down. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I am looking for you. Why? Remember last week? Why does God call us to prayer? He calls us to draw down heaven for the benefit of my crisis on earth. Prayer is drawing down what has been offered in heaven in the midst of my crisis on earth. Now watch this. All Judah is standing before them, infants, wives, children, everybody, because it affects them all. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, verse 15, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, this overwhelming crisis, for the battle is not yours, but God's. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Oh, there's so much in here. Listen. Listen now. He prays because he's in a crisis. He says, I'm not going to focus on, I'm not going to ignore my crisis because it's right here in front of me. It's invading me. But I'm not going to let my crisis be my focus. I am now going to put my eyes on heaven, because watch this, heaven rules. Since heaven rules, I'm going to look at heaven that rules. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to do it. All I know is you're the only one that can do it, because I'm powerless in this situation. The text says, the Spirit of the Lord came on the prophet, who then gave them, watch this, a direct word from God for their immediate situation. Please don't miss that. When he focused on God and made God his focus without ignoring his crisis, when he made his focus on God, appealing to God's nature, appealing to God's history, and then appealing to what God's word said, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet, and the prophet gave them a word about how God wanted them to resolve this problem. Why am I pointing this out? Because now we have the Word of God joining with the Spirit of God to bring an answer to the crisis being experienced by the people of God. God calls a prophet forth to speak a word. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I want to say this to you. When you are in a crisis and don't know what to do, God has a rhema word for you. Now, let me define what I mean by rhema word. The word rhema refers to a specific utterance. The Bible is the word of God. It is the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's the word of God when you feel it. It's the word of God when you don't feel it. It's the word of God when you like it. It's the word of God when you don't like it. It's the word of God because it's the word of God. But when you're in a crisis, you just don't need the word of God in its general written sense. You need a rhema word. That is, you need the specific word of God that applies to you in your specific crisis. Because you can't go to the Bible and the Bible tell you whether to move to Fort Worth or move to California. You can't go to the Bible and it tells you whether to do this specific thing or that. It gives you general principles, but it doesn't give you all the specific guidance about your specific crisis. But God has not forgotten what you might call gaps. He fills in those gaps by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job to speak to the human spirit of the problem what we should do in addressing our specific crisis at this specific time. And he does it prophetically. Now, remember what a prophet was. A prophet was one who would speak on God's behalf to the people. The Bible is called the prophetic word. When the scripture is called the prophetic word, like in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's referring to the Bible not in its general sense, but in its specific sense to walk you through a specific problem. How do you know when you're getting an utterance, a specific utterance to your situation? Well, it can come in numbers of ways. You know you're getting a specific utterance when there are 2,000 people in the sanctuary, but the sermon was only for you. It's like you're the only one sitting there, and this was with you in mind. That means you weren't hearing the word of God. You were hearing a word from God for your specific situation. It can come when you're reading, and you're reading, and then God, the Holy Spirit, highlights a verse. In other words, it's no longer just general reading. All of a sudden, the verse emerges up off the page. When, I think I may have mentioned this, when we were buying this little church here, and I was walking up and down the street, and I was just looking at all the land, and then I was reading the Bible, and I read Joshua chapter 1, and I was just having devotions over Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, it says, "And I will give you this land. Every place on which your foot trods, this land will belong to you." Now, I've read Joshua chapter 1 100,000 times, and nothing happened those 100,000 times I read it, but when I was in, we were in a crisis, and we didn't know where we were going to get the money to buy the church, and we didn't have any place to meet. And on that crisis day, I was reading Joshua chapter 1. All of a sudden, "I will give you this land, every place on which your foot steps. That is what I am giving to you." All of a sudden, it's up in my grill. God is all up in my face. I knew on that day that I was reading Joshua chapter 1. God was not just giving me general verses for general devotions. He was giving me a rhema word, a prophetic utterance for my specific crisis situation. God speaks. That's why when the Holy Spirit speaks to the human spirit and gets specific about you. In 1 Samuel, we have this phrase. Because Israel was in a crisis. His name was Goliath. Goliath is a problem too big for you to handle. Okay. In football, the quarterback receives the ball. And so the other team is coming in to tackle him. And then he hands it off to the halfback. The halfback then takes the ball and he runs with it. An amazing thing happens. Everybody that was after the quarterback changes. They now shift from the quarterback. And now they're all after the halfback because the quarterback has handed the problem off. So now the problem is in somebody else's hands, and all the enemy got to deal with the somebody else because he has the ball. The reason why all of us are running all the time is we keep the ball. "I got this problem. I got this problem. I can't do anything about this problem. This is my problem." God is saying, "Hand the ball off. Hand the ball off. Hand the ball off." We say, "No, I got the ball. I was born with this ball. I was raised with this ball. I'm going to have this ball for the rest of my life." God is saying, "Hand the ball off, you dummy." And if we would hand the ball off and let God take it, the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's.
Life's biggest battle is one we absolutely, positively can't win on our own, and that's the battle against sin. God's standard is perfection, and nothing less will do. But here's Tony with a word about how God solved that problem for us.
A lot of people are confused. They think they have to earn their way to heaven. You can't earn it, but God is giving it away to anyone who will go to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of eternal life. Do that right now.
Learn more about how that gift can be yours today. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. Tony has a short, powerful video that explains what real Christianity is about, along with some free follow-up resources. Check it out today. If you'd like a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to someone else, you can get it as a part of our current 2-volume, 14-message series called Revive Us Again. And don't forget, if you contact us right away, we're making this collection available on CD as our gift in appreciation for your contribution toward the work of the Urban Alternative. You can get the details and donate online at TonyEvans.org. One more thing to check out while you're there. Earlier this year, it was in theaters. Now Tony's movie Kingdom Men Rising is available on DVD. It's a powerful look at how men can stop making excuses and start being the leaders God intended them to be. You'll get to meet Tony's dad and learn about their special relationship. Also featured are Kirk Franklin, Troy Vincent, Tony Dungy, John Kitna, and others. One way to revive our nation is for men to take up their God-given role in society. Get your copy of Kingdom Men Rising and find out how. As always, the place to go for details is TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Even if you feel like you're ready for revival, there may be some obstacles standing in your way. I hope you'll join us tomorrow as Dr. Evans reveals what they are and how to get rid of them. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.